I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the Brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The Brothers Anderson are... This is Eric.
And by the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
This is Brother Jay.
You ask me if I have a God complex. Let me tell you something. I am God.
This is true.
There is a storm coming like nothing you have ever seen. And not a one of you is prepared for it.
So sit back, close your eyes, and let us take you away. Unless you're driving, in which case keep your eyes open and watch the road. And, you know, anyway.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops
Welcome, this is Eric.
This is Brother Jay.
This is Drew. And tonight we're going to do our Ho Ho Holiday episode. We're talking about two Christmas movies.
Yeah.
The first is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation from 1989. And the second is Mixed Nuts from 1994. So let's start with the obvious choice. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Was this on anybody's list?
Nope.
Not really. I mean, I have a nostalgic fondness for this movie and all of the vacation movies.
So it's on Drew's list. So Drew, take us into National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
It's a National Lampoon's vacation movie, and it's set during Christmas. It's about all you need to know about it. The kids are new, just like every incarnation of a vacation movie.
And you said you had a fondness?
Yeah. I mean, at the time, I thought they were fun. They're silly. They're very light. I think they delivered... I think all of them tend to deliver what you expect from them.
Even when watching it this time?
Hard to say. I was in a pretty cranky mood when I watched it this time. So I wasn't really in the right mindset for it. Well, I did not have a great time with either of these movies, honestly.
Okay, well, we'll get to each of them in turn. So, Brother Jay, do you have any history with Christmas Vacation?
Yes. I think, actually, at one point, we may have seen this in the theater together.
Not me. I have never seen this movie before.
Oh, well.
I saw it in the theater. I don't remember who with, but it would make sense that it might have been a family outing that Eric wasn't invited to.
I was probably working.
Yeah, I was going to say. I've seen this before. I didn't remember it at all. When I was watching it, it was familiar, but only in the way that I had some vague, smoky, hazy recollection of it being somewhere in the ether of my addled brain. And when I watched it, I was struck by how awful it really was, and just how it was a struggle to get through. I didn't laugh a single time. Nothing made me laugh at all. And it's not that I'm opposed to any of the talent, because this had a lot of talent, especially a very, very young Johnny Galecki. So that was shocking, because I recognized him, but it broke my brain. Also, the music was done by Angelo Badalamenti of Twin Peaks, David Lynch fame. So that was odd. It's of course a very dated movie, so that was difficult. I don't think it aged well. It did not stand up the test of time. It wasn't a timeless classic. It was probably barely funny when it came out to begin with, and time did it no service. So, I actually wrote down zero notes.
I've got quite a few notes because I had never seen this movie before. I had heard about it, you know, and I had seen the original Vacation, and I saw European Vacation.
That one, I'm sure we saw together.
Yeah. That one I saw
at the Polar Theater. I remember.
Truth be told, I'm not a big Chevy Chase fan. And I'm not even a big slapstick comedy fan. But if I remember correctly, and I don't really want to go back and watch Vacation again. But if I remember correctly, the charm of Vacation was that Clark Griswold was just a dopey, but otherwise kind-hearted man trying to take his family on a vacation despite all these wacky things that happen, and he would just put on the Griswold face and just get all glazed and smile and just continue going through it.
Except no matter what kind really of craziness. He wasn't really a kind-hearted man.
In the beginning, in the original movie?
He always had that bubbling under the surface that he was a terrible person.
Maybe
he had the facade of being a nice man. He acted like he was a nice man. But as we experienced in this movie, within the first minute and a half, he's road raging. So,
yeah, in this movie, he's not likable. Like, again, my recollection of the Vacation movies was that Clark was dumb, but pure hearted. And everybody saw, you know, his kids were jaded and his wife was, you know, tolerant of him. And then all the wacky cousins and encounters he had. But in this movie, he's neither likable nor pitiable. Like, I found a hard time liking his character at all.
In the first movie, didn't he actively try and cheat on his wife and then later kidnap John Candy at gunpoint?
Well, okay, yes, there's that. But if I remember correctly, like, Christie Brinkley was flirting with him on the highway, and at first he was shocked, like, maybe, you know, that he's like, oh, pshaw, not me. And then he, you know, that kind of worked on his brain, and yeah. So, yeah, he was trying to actively cheat with his wife. In this movie, he's not an oh shucks kind of guy. He, like, sees the girl in the department store, and he's making his moves on the girl in front of his children. He's not a likable guy. My notes are full of Clark Griswold is not a likable guy. And this movie, you're right, is so full of talent. I don't know how they got, I mean, maybe it's because some of this talent was in top dollar at the time. But, you know, you've got the regulars. You've got Clark, Chevy Chase, and Ellen, Beverly D'Angelo, who is fine, but wasted. Wasted talents, not wasted. Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. Hopefully she was wasted during the filming.
She was probably the best actress of the whole bunch.
Yeah, she was fine. We have the kids, Audrey, Juliette Lewis, and Rusty, Johnny Galecki. And the kids have a fond memory of, because it was a big deal to be in this movie. And yeah, and in the very beginning, the opening scene where he has the road rage thing, if he let it go, it would be fine. If these guys were road raging against him, it'd just be a horrible mishap. But he causes the problem.
He is the instigator.
Yeah. So we instantly go to the department store, and he flirts with the girl at the counter. Again, not likable. He's just a creep. And then the in-laws arrive, because this time Christmas is going to happen at the Griswold house. Instead of going away, they're coming here. So you've got John Randolph, who's Clark Sr. You've got Diane Ladd, E.G. Marshall, and Doris Roberts. It's great. I mean, all those are great actors.
Yeah.
Yep. You've got the next door neighbors, who are Christopher Guest's brother, Todd, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus as Margot. And they're unlikable.
She was also wasted.
yes, probably. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yes, her talents are wasted.
Yes.
We have Clark's boss, Mr. Shirley, played by Brian Doyle Murray, who is
Bill Murray's brother.
Yeah, I like him. I liked him in the role, too. Mm-hmm. Well, he was fine. He was likable as being unlikable. But Clark, in this case, Clark is pool hungry. He wants that Christmas bonus to buy a pool to satisfy himself, pretty much. I mean, sure, the family can use it, but even in his daydreams, the girl from the department store is splashing around his pool, too.
Also, he can't afford it.
No, well, yeah, that's the thing. He's prepaying on a pool that he thinks he'll be able to pay off with his bonus, which is something I can relate to, but does not make him likable.
Well, it's also part of the theme of the vacation movies is Clark is always wanting to do something very ostentatious for his family, presumably. But his family always could not give a shit. You know, in the first movie, they didn't really want to go on the vacation to, was it Wally World?
Yes.
The second movie, they didn't really want to go on a European trip. And the third movie, they never expressed any interest in a pool.
Yeah.
So it's always Clark kind of satisfying his own needs to be a good provider.
Yeah, and you've got some gags with all the Christmas lights in the house, and that's fine. I mean, you know, that's kind of funny. I mean, it's been done elsewhere, but, you know, 89, maybe it was like cutting edge, who knows. And then we have Cousin Eddie, Randy Quaid, and I'm not a big Randy Quaid fan either, but he's much more endearing in this movie than he was in the other movies. Like, he is actually the heart of the movie. Kind of.
Yeah.
And then we have the sledding thing that I don't really care about.
Yeah, there were some really odd tangential storylines that just didn't make any sense. They were only made to elongate the short movie. So it was filler, and it was bad filler.
Well, and I mean, this movie is about things like Snots the dog and the cat that gets electrocuted and the tree that goes up in flames and all of the mayhem.
But Snots the dog doesn't even have a payoff, though.
No, he drinks the water, right? That's about it. And chases the squirrel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But there's no snot payoff.
Well, there's no snot payoff and there's no leg humping payoff. Like, he goes to great pains to do the setup of the joke and then never executes the joke. That's this entire movie. They go to great pains to set up a premise, but then never play the premise out. They're always moving on to the next thing. Eventually something happens, but not what they've been setting up.
Yeah, maybe.
It's always misdirection and I don't know.
On purpose or sloppy writing?
At the time it was written, it was probably on purpose. In retrospect, it's probably sloppy writing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not because this wasn't a sophisticated time for movies, especially not Chevy Chase comedies.
Well, yeah, this had no intention of being a sophisticated movie.
Yeah, it wasn't written as a highbrow humor. I would have no assumption going into it that it would have been a highbrow humor. But, and I think at the time, had I watched it, it would have been like, meh, yeah, I might have laughed a couple times. But again, a rewatch, I didn't laugh, nothing. I didn't laugh at all.
Yeah, it's a little rough.
It was a joyless experience.
Yeah, I think this movie's fine if you say these words to yourself. I'm in the mood to watch a vacation movie. If you can say those words to yourself, I think this movie is fine. It's not going to be good. It's just going to be fine. If you're in that like tiny sliver of the Venn diagram of wanting to watch a National Lampoon's Vacation movie and you want to watch a Christmas movie, then it's perfect for you. But I think that's a very limited audience.
It's a very narrow window.
Yeah.
People love this movie, though. But if I because I was asking people at work, just you know, what do you think of it? And they're like, oh, we love it. I'm like, really? You know,
when was the last time they saw it?
Well, you know, and they keep saying, well, no, but what about this? Like, you put grandma on the roof of the car. It's like, no, that was the other movie. And then some people, turns out, maybe haven't even seen it, are just familiar with the Griswold oeuvre. But
there was a fourth movie, right?
I think so. Vegas Vacation, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know what? As long as Chevy Chase will do it, I'm sure there'll be another movie.
They rebooted it with Ed Helms.
No.
That's a real thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's shocking.
I'm not making that up.
Okay, all right.
Is he making it up, Jason? I have no idea. I just pulled him up, and he's starring in Chappaquiddick. So that's what caught my eye.
Yeah, that actually looks like a good movie.
Yeah, that Kate Mara.
Who's the guy that plays...
I have no idea.
Because he looks like Ted Kennedy.
I'm already there. So, oh, wait, Vacation. Mm-hmm. 2015, here we go.
He plays Clark Griswold?
Rusty.
He plays Rusty.
So, Rusty grows up.
Well, that carries on the tradition of a new Rusty every time.
Oh, man. Debbie Griswold, Christina Applegate.
Oh, well.
Chris Hemsworth, Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo as the parents. Norman Reedus.
Norman Reedus?
Yeah, right?
What? Who is Norman Reedus?
He's from The Walking Dead.
Oh, okay.
And the Boondock Saints?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
The budget was $31 million. It grossed $104
million. Wow.
I've never heard of it before.
Yeah, that's what. Well, you know, Christmas Vacation is a very popular movie. It's on all the time. You know, that's the, like, seasonal movies are kind of a thing, just like we've talked about seasonal albums. Like, you can put out a Christmas album all the time, and there's somebody that's going to buy it. Although maybe not with so much less physical media. But I know people who every year would buy new Christmas albums from people.
Yeah.
So. And, you know, everybody's looking for, like, the movie you can play on cable every year. And, like, last year we did The Christmas Story, and I had never seen that. And that is a sweet movie.
That also sets a very high bar.
Yeah, and, I can see where you wouldn't always be in the mood for that. I mean, this is not that. This is a different kind of mood. This is in the same people who, from the people that liked Porky's, we give you Christmas Vacation. Because I think it was also rated R, right?
Porky's instead.
Or maybe Christmas Vacation wasn't rated R, but I think Vacation was an R-rated movie.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Like, aimed at adults, but turns out it was popular with kids, especially on cable.
See, Vegas Vacation was PG.
Was Chevy Chase in Vegas Vacation?
Yep. Yeah, so was Beverly D'Angelo, so was Randy Quaid.
Of course.
Wayne Newton.
Oh, of course.
Wallace Shawn, Sid Caesar.
Inconceivable. So, Brother Jay, your verdict on National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
If you've never seen it, I mean, if you really want to burn an hour and a half and regret your life choices, unless you're completely just stone cold drunk, I would avoid this. This is not good. Watch A Christmas Story. If you've seen A Christmas Story before, watch A Christmas Story. Or if you've never seen Mixed Nuts, watch Mixed Nuts, because I actually liked that movie. Or maybe just start at the beginning of everything that's good and watch Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah, or Lethal Weapon, or Die Hard, or Krampus.
Never seen it.
It's good. It's different. It's good. Brother Drew, was it worth it?
No. I've already seen it. I wasn't really in the mood to watch it. I remembered it being better than it was. All of that added up to a pretty poor experience. I mean, again, I think it's this movie's fine if you can go into it with low expectations and you want to see a goofy, dumb movie with dumb jokes and not work your brain too hard. It'll be fine. It won't ever get any better than fine under the best circumstances.
Yep, I'd have to agree with both of you. I'd say give it a pass. Give it a hard pass. If you remember it fondly, yeah, that's fine. I mean, I'm not going to judge you based on whether you like the movie or not, but I'm going to guess that you're conflating all the movies together because I found it really kind of like lifeless and mirthless, and I did not like Chevy Chase, and since he's kind of the anchor character, I did not have a good time. But, and I sense this is going to be, we're going to have a split decision on the next movie, I finally remembered the movie, 1994 movie, Mixed Nuts, written and directed by Nora Ephron, 1994, and adapted from the French farce, and I'm going to butcher the French, but Le Père Noël est une ordure, which is roughly translated as Santa Claus is a bastard.
I can see where that title wouldn't have flown.
And so this is another movie, just to compare and contrast. This is another movie directly related because it's got Juliette Lewis in it. And it also has a really, really great cast. And I think they used the cast better than Vacation or Christmas Vacation did. And I think it's a farce. So, by the way, this was on my list, so I'm going to introduce this. It's a farce, and it's over the top, and it didn't make money, and people don't like it on the movie rating sites nearly as much as they like Christmas Vacation. Apparently, the people that saw the French version, which is much darker, thought this was a cheesy American remake of a French classic, and the people who didn't see the French movie didn't care. But I happen to like this movie.
It had Madeleine Kahn, so cheesy would be right. I actually like this movie. I didn't hate it. I mean, it wasn't the greatest movie, but I laughed at this several times. There was one point actually. There were a couple points actually where I was laughing quite a bit. So we watched Christmas Vacation first because I suspected it was going to be just a shit show. And then the next day we watched Mixed Nuts. So maybe having watched them in that order one day after the other, that made this movie just that much better by comparison. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure I've seen this movie before. So it was very familiar. And when I saw some of the scenes, they looked familiar. So either I've seen parts of this movie before or I just seen the movie before. But I laughed quite a bit.
We could have seen this in the theater, actually.
It's possible.
Yeah. And what did, before we get into Mixed Nuts too far, what did boyfriend Jesse think about National Lampoon's Vacation? Had he seen it, or Christmas Vacation? Had he seen it?
I don't think he'd ever seen it before, and he hated it as much as I did.
Oh, excellent. So, Drew, I sense you did not have a good time. Actually, you've already told us you didn't have a very good time with Mixed Nuts.
No, I hated this movie.
Oh, excellent.
I hated everything about this movie. And I watched it first. And then I went right into Christmas Vacation. So my crankiness after watching this movie may have colored my experience for Christmas Vacation. But yeah, there is nothing about this movie I liked. I didn't like any of the characters. I found them all to be not even unlikable as characters, just poorly realized characters. Like, this movie was trying so hard to be zany with a capital Z that I found it really off-putting. I didn't like anybody in it. I hated Adam Sandler. I hated Anthony LaPaglia.
Oh, really?
I hated what they were doing with Liev Schreiber. No, Liev Schreiber in this movie, he was in a totally different movie than Steve Martin. Liev Schreiber was in a Kids in the Hall skit.
Oh, but don't you think he was great?
No. No, it was way, way too far over the top.
I disagree. You haven't hung around with enough drag queens.
Maybe so.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of experience with real drag queens either, but I thought he was great. I thought he was super charming.
Being the authority of the three of us with drag queens, I loved Liev Schreiber in this role. I thought he was great. He made me laugh many times. Madeleine Kahn, I laughed.
He was 100% committed.
Yeah. Yes.
He was all in for sure.
Yeah. Madeleine Kahn was great.
Oh, Madeleine Kahn was so good. You know, and I was thinking about this because we saw Ferdinand, the cartoon. And I think our generation's Madeline Kahn was Madeline Kahn. I think the millennial generation's Madeline Kahn is Kate McKinnon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she can do like all of that, because this is a movie that shows Madeline Kahn being kind of goofy Madeline Kahn, but also at times being kind of sort of quiet and just lovely Madeline Kahn.
And sometimes serious and overwrought Madeline Kahn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Munchnick. She was in a darker version of the rest of the people. She was in a darker version of the movie, which I think would have been a better movie.
Trapped in the elevator with the whole drum machine karaoke. I lost my shit. I could not stop laughing at that. That was so funny. I don't know how much of that was ad-libbed, but that was awesome. And maybe it was because it was vintage Madeline Kahn, and I really dig Madeline Kahn. But I really had some good belly laughs at that.
Okay, I want to dive into the plot a little bit, because there are some things that I really liked about this movie. And I know I'm not going to convince Brother True, but that's okay.
You don't have to. I'm convinced enough for the both of us.
This is Southern California Christmas Eve. This is kind of the same. It's a Nora Ephron movie, but to me it's the same kind of thing as like L.A. Story. Yes. Where like Southern California is kind of part of the thing.
And it's Southern California over the top.
Yeah, like Venice Beach. And we have ex-con Felix, played by Anthony LaPaglia, who is over the top. This actually seemed like a stage play. That's kind of how the acting was. But I think everybody was acting stagey, so I don't know, maybe I didn't mind. But we have Anthony LaPaglia, who I love. Actually, I love him maybe most from Frasier. Because he played Daphne's brother.
He was good in Frasier.
Yeah. Anyway, and then we have his angry pregnant wife, Gracie, played by Juliette Lewis. Who is sort of her friend, Escher Annoying.
Sorry to interrupt. Wasn't Anthony LaPaglia in that movie we watched for Dad? The Assignment.
Oh, The Assignment. Yes, I think he was.
Yes, he was the best part of The Assignment.
Yeah. Whee!
I might have enjoyed The Assignment better than Mixed Nuts.
Oh, wow. So we have the very pregnant Gracie. We've got Felix, and they're squabbling. And they run into the street and damage a Christmas tree carried by two rollerbladers, played by
John Stewart
and Parker Posey.
Yeah.
Just fun.
Best in show.
And then we have Philip, the bicycle-riding Steve Martin. Now, did he dye his hair brown?
It was like brown blonde dyed.
It was weird.
Or it was a wig. I couldn't tell.
It's probably a wig. I mean, I think he probably has. I think it's all wigs now.
It was super floofy.
But it was not his, like, platinum blonde or even his, yeah, Gengar blonde. I don't know. I thought it was a little strange. That's okay. He was Steve Martin. And he is the head of a suicide prevention hotline called Lifesavers. And we find out that that the landlord, Stanley, played by Gary Shandling, who was always fun to see. A little Shandling goes a long way, but it's fun to see. And they're being evicted, although the rest of the people don't know it yet, although they suspect. And the office manager is Blanche Munchnick, Madeline Kahn. And the overly emotional and empathetic person is Catherine O'Shaughnessy, played by Rita Wilson. And I forgot how good an actress Rita Wilson is. I liked her in this. She gave a solid performance. And now she's just Mrs. Tom Hanks, and I think she's a producer mostly, right?
She was my favorite part of this movie.
The part of the movie where she's shaking out the Christmas lights in frustration, I have done that. That's another part of this movie I laughed out loud.
And then we've got Philip is broken up, or he gets broken up by his girlfriend, Susan, played by Jolie Fisher. Rest in peace, Carrie. And she tells him, by the way, you don't get your bank loan to keep your business afloat. And by the way, I'm seeing a psychiatrist, like dating a psychiatrist. So there's not really a lot of business. There's a obscene phone caller. And there's a couple of people mentioning the notorious killer, the Seaside Strangler. And then we have Chris, Liev Schreiber, who is a transvestite or a transgender woman. It's hard to tell these days. Either way.
Well, all the way up until he actually told Adam Sandler his name, whenever he would speak, the closed captioning said transvestite.
Oh, that's funny.
That was the funniest part of this movie.
We have the Mrs. Munchnik gets stuck in the elevator, and we meet the wacky neighbor Robert Klein, and it's always fun to see Robert Klein, who has dogs, and Mrs. Munchnik hates the dogs, and so he calls her the dog hater. So I don't know, that I thought that was kind of fun for flavor. And we have, I don't know, I mean, it's sort of a slapsticky scene, but also a little bit, if you put different music behind it, it could be a horror movie scene where we have the elevator and her, she's stuck, and the elevator goes up, and it's all complicated.
Emilio Estevez, Mission Impossible.
And then we have the neighbor who has a crush on Rita Wilson, and that's Adam Sandler, who is like young Adam Sandler, man-child Adam Sandler with a ukulele.
I laughed repeatedly at Adam Sandler, which I don't normally, but something about this just, it, I don't know why.
It was just, to me, it was charming. It was one of those things where for the first time, maybe in my whole life, I said, well, of the two movies, I preferred the Adam Sandler movie.
Oh, I hated Adam Sandler in this movie. They like took like the worst thing he did on SNL and told him, just do that the whole time.
But that could have been his whole thing, though. I mean,
and he's romancing Chris, which is sweet.
It is sweet. During this whole thing, Gracie and Felix are fighting physically because they are like the white trash couple. So Gracie throws a fruitcake at Felix, and they have to take him to a doctor. Well, the only doctor they know is the vet, who's Rob Reiner. And then we have Chris, who actually comes to the suicide hotline place because even though he wasn't supposed to, Steve Martin gave out the address. And I think we're supposed to think that it's possible that Chris is a Seaside Strangler, but turns out he's not because he's too charming. And we have the awkward, but I thought really impressive dance sequences with Liev Schreiber and Steve Martin.
No, I thought it was impressive.
Yeah. I mean, Steve Martin was doing the slapstick dancing kind of
at thing, first.
But, yeah, but I think Liev Schreiber was fine. And yeah, and we have Adam Sandler, and we've got zaniness, and we had, in the meantime, Felix has overdosed on, like, dog tranquilizers or whatever, and ends up showing up at the place with a gun, and they end up shooting through the door. I'm spoiling the whole movie for people who haven't seen it, but Drew's going to suggest you should have seen it anyway, and I'm going to say it's worth the ride even if you do hear the end of it. They end up shooting through the door and killing the landlord, Gary Shandling. And so to hide the evidence, they end up bundling him up into the Christmas tree. Mayhem ensues. We have Madeline Kahn and Richard Klein get together on the beach. We've got everybody at the end trying to smuggle Gary Shandling's body out, and they get stopped.
They have the part in the movie where she's describing that she's going to be stuck in the 10 items or less line the rest of her life.
Yes, yes.
That was also, I love grape jelly. That was hilarious. I couldn't stop laughing at that. I did have one of those awkward realizations when Steve Martin and Rita Wilson are humping it out with her head at the toilet. Like, ew. Just like, ew, how unsanitary, gross. I mean, ew. But also, did you notice at the end that it was a very young Haley Joel Osment?
I didn't notice it, but I read it in the notes. Yeah,
I noticed it right off the bat. I thought that can't be, and then of course I realized how old the movie was. So, yeah.
Well, actually, you know what? I'm gonna take this quote with me forever now. I just love it so. Can you guess? I will try to use it professionally at some point.
Just remember that in every pothole there is hope. Well, you see, pothole is spelled P-O-T-H-O-L-E. So if you take the P and add it to the H, the O, and the E and rearrange the letters, or contrarywise, remove the O, T, and L, you get hope. So just remember, in every pothole there is hope. Now, thank you for calling, and call again anytime.
Yeah. It's awkward and stupid, but it's hilarious. Makes me laugh.
Makes me chuckle.
Yeah.
And Drew's grimacing in pain.
And because it's a farce, this actually has a happy ending. By the way, it has a happy ending, even though it's clear that Gracie is not pregnant with Felix's child because he was in jail at the time.
It's a feel-good adoption movie.
And at the end, you have basically like Felix and Gracie end up being like Mary and Joseph, and they're like in a manger, and it's all like it's all Christmassy. The Christmas music in this was kind of fun. They had all different genre of Christmas music, which I kind of liked.
It was.
And Philip asked Catherine to marry him, which is all very happy because it's a Nora Ephron film, so it's a love story. One of the major differences, by the way, between this and the French film is in the French film, it's Felix and Josette, and they're struggling over the gun and accidentally shoot the elevator repairman dead, and then they butcher him and feed him to zoo animals.
Wow.
Instead of wrapping him in a Christmas tree. So you can see where...
What's that French sensibility, huh?
Yeah. So, Brother Jay, Mixed Nuts, what was your verdict?
I like this movie. I would watch it again. I don't think it's going to go on my regular rotation nor my regular Christmas rotation, but I chuckled at it. It was amusing, and I didn't feel like I hated my life having watched it. Not the best endorsement, I realize, but, you know, I'd give it a B. Maybe B minus, but...
Yeah, I think I can give it a B minus, too, but Drew, is it worth it?
No. This movie's terrible. It is awful. It tries way too hard. It shoehorns in. It like had an outline of all the zany jokes it wanted to hit. And it just tried to shoehorn it in, pounding the square peg in at every beat. And it just did not work for me. It made me think of like The Birdcage, which is another farce. But I think that movie... the jokes are way more organic. They're realized a lot more earnestly in that movie. And in this movie, it's just one hard landing after another of them just trying to one-up themselves about how zany the characters can be. And I was not having any of it. Even from the first shot of the rollerbladers carrying the Christmas tree, like just that shot alone just made me roll my eyes. And then having Anthony LaPaglia stranded in a Santa costume for reasons, at that point I was just like, oh, fuck you, movie. I'm out. So, no. Don't waste your time on this movie. You can skip it. There are way better Christmas movies. There are way better Steve Martin movies. There are way better Nora Ephron movies. Find one.
Fair enough. Okay. So, we're done with movie talk. It's on to housekeeping. So, I do have a story to tell. You guys have heard most of it, but I'll tell you in detail. So, you know, part of I have to be slightly careful about talking about work, but this is a work story that involves me too. So I answer 911 as part of what I do, which is 999 or 112, depending on where you live. I answer 911 and get a call from a guy who lives on my street saying he just witnessed somebody stealing a package off a porch and driving away. And my guy was sufficiently angry about this because we actually do have, it's a big deal, people following around UPS trucks and FedEx trucks and just stealing packages off of porches these days. So he was sufficiently angry and had enough time, apparently, that he chased this guy down and followed him and lost him. And then at that point, I'm like, okay, well, whatever. And then he called back and got my supervisor. And he followed this vehicle, which turned out to be a stolen car. And it eluded police. And then it was dumped in an alley. And the bad guy jumped over a fence and ran into, like, a trailer park. So later, I send a message to one of the officers on scene saying, hey, incidentally, did you find the package that the guy stole? Because, you know, I mean, I live in that neighborhood, so I'm curious. Sure enough, it was my package he stole from my porch. Now, luckily, it wasn't a Christmas present because I have not gotten the package back yet. It is currently sitting in our evidence department covered in fingerprint dust. And we'll see what happens when I get it back. But it was just a bag of four lightning cables. So, no big deal. But had it been a Christmas present, I would have been pissed. And there were other boxes in this guy's truck. So, in the stolen truck this guy was driving. So, he had probably had some real Christmas presents that he had stolen from people. But anyway, people are no damn good.
Rude, man.
But yeah, so that was a little bit of excitement for me. It makes me curious about the Ring camera, or it's like a Nest camera or whatever the competing brands are, or the Amazon Key, which of course we don't have in Alaska yet, but someday maybe.
Yeah, it's either that or, was this a USPS?
No. A USPS would have been put in a locked box because we have a cluster mailbox with big things in it. This was UPS.
Yeah, so UPS and FedEx, you would have to actively manage that or just default to pick up at a location, right? Instead of home delivery?
Yes, at an inconvenient time and location for us.
Yes. Yeah.
They do also offer, you can buy package lockers for your front porch.
That's a thought too.
But again, that's only going to keep honest people honest. If some thief is following the UPS truck, he's going to have bolt cutters.
Yeah, or the key to the package box thing, right? Because they have a fairly universal key.
No, it has a padlock.
Oh, okay.
You just leave the padlock unlocked, and then when whoever comes to put the package in, they lock it.
Oh,
that's also interesting. It also relies on the delivery people to care enough to lock it, or to care enough to put it in the package locker. And so there's a whole series of stuff. Amazon Key works when it works. The problem is that not everything qualifies for Amazon Key. And also not all the delivery drivers are aware of the service, so.
Yeah, spirit of Christmas, blah, blah, blah. But really, like I said, it was just hilarious that it turned out to be my package that was stolen.
And plus,
you got to find out over the air?
No, I get it, well, by computer message. I wasn't on the radio at that point. But I got to meet my neighbor, because my neighbor was too happy to come and tell both my wife, who came home earlier with Journey, and then me later. Because that was also a day that later in the day, there was a blizzard. And it was crazy, crazy snow and traffic and ice. And so he was still shoveling his driveway. And he came running out to tell me, hey, did you hear? And I'm like, here, I talked to you. What? I'm like, yeah, I answered your phone call. He goes, no. I'm like, yeah. So anyway.
Small world.
He's going to get a Christmas card. Yeah. Anyway, you guys have any housekeeping?
I saw The Last Jedi.
And?
On opening day.
And? Was the theater packed to the rafters?
It was. It was an 11:30 a.m. showing right across the street from my office building.
Told you it would be full.
Yeah. So my wife and I got there at 11:10.
Wait, your wife went with you?
Yeah, man. Yeah. She skipped out of work. My holiday party was that day, and it was a lunch. So instead of going to that, I just went to the movie.
It's a boss move right there.
And my wife took off work. I know
if he was a boss, he would have to go to the lunch.
Yeah, true. But yeah, so we got there at about 11:15 and skipped the concessions and went right to the theater, and it was already packed. It was a really tiny theater because that showing was not 3D. It was not even like the real D. It was like the most standard definition movie you can see in the theater. So it was in this really tiny theater sort of at the back of the building that only had like one aisle. So the other end of the seats were against the wall.
We got there so late that that's where we end up sitting, is against the wall.
That's our father's nightmare.
Turns out it was my nightmare that day too, because I had chugged three glasses of tea and then went right to the movies and shimmied our way into the seats, and then I shimmied back out to go get some popcorn and something to drink, and then I shimmied back, and then the preview started. I was like, oh man, I'm gonna have to pee, this is bad. And there was a half hour of previews, and the movie started, and I was like, oh man, I'm not gonna last, I'm so old now, it's terrible.
So did you bail early and pee, or did you hold on as long as you could?
I held out to a part where I thought I could go without missing much. But yeah, so I had to shimmy through everybody again. Go pee, came back, had to shimmy back. And it was so long. It was such a long movie. I'm glad I did. Because that would have been painful.
Well, at least you didn't have to have people shimmying past you.
That's true. But yeah, so it was an interesting experience going to a movie on opening day, a popular movie. Get even that.
Did people cheer and laugh and sigh and cry?
People laughed a lot. It was a funny movie. It was out of character for a Star Wars movie, kind of funny. But it was good. I really liked it. It was really different. It was really unexpected.
More of a kid's movie, less of a kid's movie?
Nah, there's stuff that kids will like. Less of a kid's movie in the sense that the plot was really hard to track. But yeah, there's lots of fun little creatures and big creatures. Enough stuff to keep kids interested, even if they can't follow the plot. But it does really interesting things with the character of Luke Skywalker. Really unexpected things.
Excellent.
I liked it. I liked it quite a bit.
Are you going to go back in the theater?
No.
Okay.
But I will watch it again when it comes out in video.
Yeah.
And Rey is still a kick-ass character.
Good. Yeah. We need that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I recommend Ferdinand also.
Excellent.
Yeah. That was not as packed, but...
Well, we have 2 weeks off, so I suspect Ferdinand is in our near future.
Yeah, it's fun. It's not no heavy lifting, but it's fun.
And hopefully there's not a 25-minute short for it.
No, you heard they killed that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Brother Jay, any housekeeping, any holiday news? How you doing? How's your lungs?
Chest x-ray tomorrow, so we'll see.
Cool.
I'm surviving. First of all, Drew mentioned 3D movies. Samsung and Sony both killed off 3D TVs, so there will be no more 3D TVs in the next couple years. They're just not going to make them anymore. With the advent of augmented reality and virtual reality, they decided there's just no point in having a TV that does it. The wave of the future is not going to be in the TV for fake high-def virtual reality. It's going to be in people's headsets. So
everybody's going to have headsets next to each other on the couch?
I don't know. Who knows? Maybe. We went to Best Buy. Boyfriend Jesse and I went to Best Buy. We were looking for something. I don't even remember what I was like. Oh, I was looking to replace my headphones. When I bought my iPhone, my new iPhone 7, whatever it was, last year, before they were out, I got a pre-order because I was one of the early adopters of the Apple program where you could upgrade every year when the new phones came out. And I got an email from Verizon saying, come to the Apple store, your phone is here, before everybody else's. And I went to the Apple store and I checked in, and the little turd of the sales kid was like, this is a fake email, we don't even have these phones yet. You made this up. And I was said,
wait, I would accuse you of faking the email?
Yeah. So I asked for a manager, and explained that I was now very not calm and angry, and that I got this email from Apple and I would like an explanation. And the manager goes in the back, and lo and behold, my phone is back there with my name on it.
Like, is it an 8?
Well, no, this was a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay.
So it was the 7 when the 7s came out, but they hadn't been fully released yet, and nobody had their hands on them. So I had an advance purchase because I was one of the first ones, as it just worked out. I hadn't planned it that way, but basically the kid had accused me of creating something. The kid said, we don't even have those phones yet. And of course, he was wrong on multiple accounts. So when the manager came over and said, oh, your phone is here. And I said, huh, that's very interesting. And then I looked at the little sales turd and I said, see, I wasn't making it up. You were completely wrong. And then the manager shuffled me off somewhere and said, well, sorry, we're going to get your phone ready. And I will give you $100 credit. So if you want to buy anything in here, you know, knock yourself out. So I bought some, because the new phone didn't have a headphone port, I bought some Bluetooth headphones, wireless Bluetooth headphones, the Beats, whatever they were.
Okay, but not like the AirPlay ones.
No, they didn't have the AirPods yet.
Oh, okay.
This was before that. So I bought these $200 pair of Beats Bluetooth earbuds that I would never have bought for $200, but $100 was fine. And I used them and used them and used them. And then earlier last week, the little button cover that has the function button and the volume up and down button popped off and will not go back on in any fashion. I'm going to have to super glue it back on.
Oh, but snap! Without
the button on, the circuit board's exposed, so I can't really use the headphones. So, and of course, it's off warranty. So I've been looking at headphones, and now I want the AirPods. But Sony makes a version that I think is probably better. And so we went to Best Buy. Of course, we went to Best Buy last weekend, which was I thought it was going to be pretty awful, and it wasn't very busy. I was kind of shocked at how not busy Best Buy was for a couple weeks before Christmas, which is where I noticed in the bargain bin under Blu-rays. There was this.
Excellent. Dead nice. Calm.
Yeah, $4.99. And then... Da-da-da-da.
Oblivion.
Yeah, $4.99.
Sweet.
I have never seen Oblivion.
I saw it once. I don't think it was terrible. But so we went to Best Buy to spend a couple $100 of on some headphones that I wanted, and I left spending less than $10.
Excellent. That's the best kind of shopping.
You did not get your headphones?
No, they didn't have the ones I wanted. And the ones that I had were... Of course, the ones I liked that they had were $350. And I cannot justify that much money on a pair of headphones. I don't care how much... I don't care how good they sound. I just... Something I'm probably going to sit on, step on, break, destroy, or lose. I just can't. I can't spend that kind of money. So the Apple EarPods... the AirPods look attractive and they're not terribly expensive. I'm interested in them, but they're not available
though.
No, $130 is not expensive for wireless rechargeable Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Not really.
My favorite headphones are the Sony G45 behind the ear single wire but wired headphones.
Yeah.
I could, for $350, I could buy 20 pairs of those headphones.
Yeah, but I don't have the ability to have a wired headphone anymore.
Well, yeah, you'd have to have a dongle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I bought a pair of Bluetooth, a set of Bluetooth earbuds by Origem, and they were like, I want to say $30, and I love them.
Oh.
They're great. They sound good, they fit nicely, they're comfortable, and the battery lasts forever.
Oh, see, I had an early pair of Plantronics Bluetooth headphones, and the first time I used them on the treadmill was the last time I used them, because they got, like, sweat inside them, and poof, they were gone.
Oh, I was going to make a treadmill joke.
They're a little more robust now, I think, the new models, but because they were the in-the-ear ones, and...
Yeah, the ones I have by Origin are actually like for they're sweatproof for exercising.
Oh, cool.
Other than that, I'm ready for Christmas. I have the next 4 days off.
Yay.
I'm looking forward to being a bum. We have some plans with some of boyfriend Jesse's family. That'll be pretty low-key for the most part. We're going out to dinner on Christmas Eve, so that'll be really super low-key. But all in all, you know, just grateful. It's time of year to be happy.
Yeah.
Things are up.
So. Yeah. We'll wish everybody happy holidays wherever you are celebrating holidays.
Feliz Navidad.
Merry Christmas.
Fröhliche Weihnachten.
Ohayo gozaimasu. And we're out. Send your feedback to show@notinthecreepyway.com or call us on a new voicemail account to leave voice messages. Or you can text us at this account to leave text messages. The number is 425-243-9169. That's 425-243-9169. What are you waiting for? Put it in your phone right now, and then when you listen to an episode, you can just hit your contacts. Dial it already.